Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday morning. And good morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to For Your Information here on KTHT 97.1 Cox Radio here in Cleveland. We are still trying to get over the things that's happened in the flood. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of people lost a lot of things. Some insurance helps a little bit if you had it, but most people didn't. We're going to be talking to someone who had to navigate and help everybody else get through the horrible flooding that we had from that hurricane. His name is Tom Branch, and he is the Liberty County Emergency Management and Homeland Security Coordinator. I still have you, right?
I am here. Good morning to you, RT. Glad to be back with you.
Oh, it's good to have you on. You know, the thing is you and I've talked a few times of late, but early on in the year, at the first hurricane season, we both said, well, hopefully this will be the last time you and I talk until October or November when the season ends. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of discussions in between, haven't we?
We have. We had a very active, certainly a very active hurricane season, with another few weeks to go, I guess, another 6 weeks or so before the end of November. We're on the downhill side of our usual concern, but as wild as it's been, I don't want to say we're out of the woods, but you know, we feel comfortable this time of year that we're in a lot better shape than we are in you know, July and August.
Harvey, for where it formed, usually those happen early in the hurricane season, the ones that form around the Yucatan Peninsula down there.
Yes.
And the Bay of Campeche and all that, they usually form early, but this one was kind of in the well into the season.
It was certainly an interesting storm, and we've seen more than one interesting storm, for lack of a better term, this year. You know, we just saw the one that went in through I guess through New Orleans a couple of weeks ago or last week, whenever that was.
Right.
And that general area moved fast. I mean, it was going like 25 miles an hour in forward motion and got in and out of there pretty quick. So we weren't that fortunate with Harvey. It came and stayed a while.
Yeah, that was another one that formed late down there. As the weirdness continued, we got, what is it, Ophelia that hit Ireland?
Yes, hit Ireland. I don't even try anymore to guess what's going to happen. You kind of watch, and you're like, well, it might be this kind of year or that kind of year. You take those numbers they give you, and you try to go, yeah, well, whatever, and you give it thought, but you don't give it a lot of thought until you have a year like this. You're like, who knows where they're going to come from and where they're going to go.
What has it been the last 3 or 4 years? There's been very minimal amount of activity compared to the average year. And then what is it, El Nino or El Nina that causes it for us? Do you know?
I think it's the El Nino, but I get those things confused. I leave those things to our meteorologist folks, and they just tell me every year, hey, this is what we think. And I go, okay, we'll see how you play out this year.
It's been a rough one for everybody all along the Gulf Coast. The eastern seaboard got scraped a few times, of course, the islands and Florida.
You know, that's one of the things we've talked with folks about here is we've had all of our floods here, and we've seen a kind of a different response from FEMA here this time. I mean, they're here, but they're, you know, for example, we were only able to open one disaster recovery center, whereas in previous events of this nature, if this was the only thing going on, FEMA would have let us open three, you know, one in each of the larger communities, Cleveland, Dayton, Liberty. Right now we've got one, and the reason for that is all the FEMA workers are everywhere. They're in Puerto Rico, they're in Florida, they're in the wildfires out west, and
yes,
of course still here. So it's been a strange, strange year this year.
And speaking of FEMA, believe it or not, there's people out there that should file that haven't filed yet, how much more time do they have, and how important is it they get it done?
It needs to be done. If you haven't done it yet, you've got to, you can register. I'll give you the number here, 800-621-3362. Again, 800-621-3362, or you can go online to www.disasterassistance.gov, G-O-V, and you can register there. But you only have until the close of business, I believe, on the 24th of October. So you only got about a little time left, so you need to make sure you get that done.
You got about 2 days, folks.
And so you need to hurry up and get it done. I would venture to say that most people have filed, but every time I get the numbers, every 2 or 3 days, I get updated numbers, and I find that there's an increase. But I'm seeing the increase slow down. In other words, I'm not seeing as many people added each day. So I think the message is getting out. Last time I looked, which was actually a couple of days ago, we were over 10,000 registrants in Liberty County and over $20 million in FEMA funding that's been awarded to Liberty County residents. So 10,000 and some change folks have registered, $20 million to those folks. Not everybody qualifies just because you register. If you look at the numbers, it's usually less than 50% of the people qualify for one reason or another. And there are various reasons. I could stay on the phone on the radio for days and days trying to explain to folks how that works. But there's various reasons that FEMA will or will not accept your application. You may have insurance, so you qualify to register, but you don't qualify to receive benefits. So when you break that down, probably half the folks get some sort of benefit, maybe a little more. The maximum benefit you can get is a little over $33,000, I believe. Somewhere between $30,000 and $33,000. The total number escapes me right now. But we've had 35 people, last time I looked, 35 residents in Liberty County received that maximum grant. That's kind of unusual. We don't usually see a large amount of max grants received. So it's a slow process, but it is working.
And as you said, anybody that sustained damage from the flood or from the storm, let me back that up, because although there wasn't a whole lot of high wind, there were some people that had limbs and trees come down on top of their property, and that counts too, right?
It does, and we've had some people that had some roof damage because just enough wind came to blow something onto their roof, or had a weak spot maybe, or some reason that the portion of the roof got lifted, and so they're eligible as well. You know, if you lost your car, things of that nature, there's a whole list of things you're eligible for. Each one of them has a different criteria, but the key is registering. Just register. FEMA will get to you as quick as they can. It's been a slow process this time, but they're making headway. And they'll get to you, and they'll give you advice on what to do. And just follow their instructions. That's the key. A lot of people get irritated because FEMA says, well, you don't qualify. And instead of inquiring as to why and how do we rectify the possibility that how do I appeal that? How do I appeal that decision? People get angry, or they get just decide they don't want to follow through with it. Follow through with it. That's why you register in the first place. Follow through, see if there's an outlet. There's all Small Business Administration loans. It sounds kind of silly because you're not a small business, you're a homeowner, but those loans are available to you in disasters. So there are a lot of avenues that you can go through, and just take the time to do it and work it that way, and hopefully you can get some relief that way.
And so, folks, I guess the moral of the story or whatever is go ahead and file if you had damage. You know, there's possibilities, as you said, the Small Business Administration, and those are low interest loans.
They are. They have some criteria to them, economic issues with in order for qualifying. But even if you say, let's say you go to FEMA, again, like you just said, number one is register. And let's say FEMA comes and they review your case and they say, for whatever reason, you don't qualify for this particular benefit. So you fill out the SBA paperwork. And they, for whatever reason, look it over and say, well, you don't qualify for this. Then you go back to FEMA and say, now, SBA turned me down. Is there anything else out there? And FEMA may have other programs. That does happen occasionally. So it's just it is a typical bureaucratic process. I don't know any other way to put it. It is a process.
Yep, and you got to go through it. But you got to get filed in the next couple of days, folks. Of course, we pre-recorded this. And so it's going to air on the 22nd, so you still got a couple of days to file, I guess. A
couple of days left, so just go ahead and do that. If you have any questions, let me give them our number real quick. 936-334-3219. Again, 936-334-3219. Just give us a call. We'll be glad to guide you in the right direction. But whatever you do, get registered if you have a claim.
And we're speaking with Tom Branch. He's the Liberty County Emergency Management and Homeland Security Coordinator. You have to wear a number of hats, including you get to visit and try to explain things to our county officials and city officials as well. Do we have an idea how much damage was done in the county as far as county property, roads and stuff?
We have a kind of an estimate. We've met with FEMA and had our initial meeting. That's when we'd say, hi, guys, we're glad to have you here. How can you help us fix our roads? And during that meeting, I want to say, and I don't have that data in front of me, but probably somewhere in the $5 million range of road and bridge damage. Oh. That could be a little high, could be a little low, but that's precinct-wide throughout the county, the unincorporated areas of the county that we're responsible for. That doesn't include inner-city things like Cleveland or Dayton or Liberty had, and they had a lot of damage to their sewer plants, a lot of the water plants. So those numbers I don't have accessible to me, but several million dollars in road and bridge damage is not going to be a surprise when it's all said and done to me.
As you said, that doesn't include the state either, the state and the federal roads like Highway 59 or 90 and things like that, huh?
Oh, that's just the unincorporated areas of the county, and it's a as everybody knows, it's a big county. And we had, we've talked before about the big damage up in Cleveland and Plum Grove area because of the sort of what I call flash floods from that San Jacinto River East Fork.
Right.
Caused a lot of damage. And people up there they've had a really bad situation that we don't normally see. Those folks along the Trinity are more used to these issues occurring than folks that live in that area of Plum Grove and Cleveland. That's something that's never been seen before. I've talked to a lot of people out there. They said they've lived there. One specific told me he lived there 40 years, never had water near his home. And again, they had to go out the window into a boat to get out of their home. So that tells you the story there.
There was property that got flooded that no one around here has ever seen before, but also property that the water from the river, when it came up, it had to go down some direction, and at some point, it was easier for it to go a different way than the way it got there. It goes up, and then it decides, oh, I'm over the hill now. I'm going this way.
Going the other way. That's right. It goes into areas. And what happens, those rivers, when they back up, when they get high like that, they cause backups in the bayous and the streams that feed into the river, so those waters can't go anywhere, and they stay longer, and just one thing after another. But, of course, we know we had over 50 inches of rain. So I don't know how you mitigate against that. You can't. I don't think you can create a 50-inch rain mitigation plan. I just don't think it exists.
That'd be a heck of a hole, wouldn't it?
It really would. I just don't know how you mitigate that. I mean, it's, you know, the only thing you can really do is try to make sure people are prepared. And some of the things we learned in this thing, we normally see a flood. We get the Red Cross to put a couple of shelters on standby when we know these events are coming. Now, if it's a big hurricane, it's going to be a big wind event, then we move folks out to our sheltering community up in Walker County. We have a method for doing that. This one didn't seem to be that issue. We didn't think there was a need to move people as far as the wind goes, and it turned out there was no wind. But the flood event itself was totally different than most of our flood events, and it stranded us. It took the entire county, and not just us, but this entire region. But we found ourselves an island amongst ourselves. We had nowhere to go, and nobody could get to us. So those normal processes we used to get people into shelters, they kind of went out the window. And so we had the churches stepped up, which is the way it should work. The churches stepped up and took good care of the folks, which was awesome. But we learned some things there. What we learned is, you know, we tell people to prepare themselves to stay in their homes,
right,
with food and water and things like that. That didn't work this time because they had to leave their homes. So we need to figure out a way to, I've kind of looked at these go kits, they call them, where people also prepare themselves to grab what they can and get out. We may need to focus a little more on that after this event, because if you're going to go to these shelters where they're not prepared for you because they don't have food and water, if you can grab what you have in that go kit, as a lack of a better term, and take it with you as you're leaving, that would help us get a day or two more food and water to folks. So just some things we're looking at the county level of how can we adjust these plans to make sure that we can take care of folks. It can be a very difficult thing, but you learn something from each one of these events.
This time, for a lot of folks, you know, they were on just pallets or anything in some of these shelters because the shelters were thrown up to house people. They didn't have folding cots and stuff like that available to everyone because, well, they weren't planning on having that particular place being a shelter. You know, as you said, we have a number of designated shelters around, but nobody was counting on this kind of event.
No, and again, it's always good, you know, here's the key, and I talk to people all the time about this. The key to this event, just like the other, you know, this is our fifth presidential disaster declaration in 27 months. That's kind of unprecedented. Each one of those events is different, but what we've always told people, we've had zero, thank goodness, we've had zero fatalities as a result of this last flood. This is a historical event. We just worked a historical event that no one lost their life that we're aware of. In other words, we don't have any indication that anybody died as a direct result of drowning or getting caught in the floodwaters or here in Liberty County. And we've gotten $20 million in here from FEMA. Those are the two good things that have happened as a result of this. Nobody drowned, which is our number one goal.
Yes.
Our next job is to get people in to help, and that's when FEMA comes in. Slow process, but we've got $20 million in the hands of residents that didn't have it. So those kind of things are a blessing to us. We're glad to have those things. And then we work out the problems. There's always a problem. There's always things you didn't anticipate. This time we had a lot of help from in boats. People just showed up with boats. So we had a lot of people here helping, which we love having those folks help. But it does create a logistics problem trying to figure out where do we need them, how do we get them there, what are they doing, where did they come from. Right. So we learned a whole lot from this event that I think will help us out going forward.
And we are speaking with Tom Branch. He's the Liberty County Emergency Management Coordinator and Homeland Security Coordinator, Manager. And we were just talking about the flood events and, you know, the horrible thing that came through with Harvey. But, you know, right now, as you said, the FEMA people, they're scattered out all over. And they've got a lot of them over on the West Coast because of a lot of fires over there. The dry air has caused it to be a tinderbox. And obviously, if you've been watching the news, you know it's gone up in smoke.
It's been tough out there. We know one of the things we've talked about here with some of our fire chiefs have visited with us. And one of the things here, we don't have any kind of burn ban in place right now. But, you know, even though with 50 inches of rain just a few weeks ago, we're pretty dry out there now. So these cold fronts start coming through, and the wind starts blowing. You get a little dry. It can cause a real problem with fires. So we tell people that are trying to manage their debris as we're trying to pick it up. Some people are burning their stuff. We really, really need to be careful. We don't need any unnecessary fires. Our firefighters are tired. They still haven't recovered. I mean, they do a great job, but they're still wore out from that flood. They worked really, really hard across the county and did a great job, along with our law enforcement folks and our school district. I mean, everybody pitched in and took care of business, and it's so if we can keep them rested a little bit from fires, that'd be great.
Yeah, right now, folks, it is not a good time to burn. And you know, the thing is, it's autumn, and you know, people are today was, as we record this, the first really nice cold front we came through. You and I were talking about the cool weather feels nice. Yeah. And one of the historical things you do in the fall is, you know, especially around Thanksgiving, but I should say Halloween and, you know, the harvest time, are the outdoor campfires and sit around with hay, sitting on bales of hay and, you know, enjoying things. Now might not be the best time to do that.
Yeah, you certainly want to check the conditions first. If you got a question, talk to one of you know, every community out there has a fire station, has a fire. If you're in the city, you know better. You can't burn anyway.
Yes.
But out in the unincorporated areas of the county, just visit with your fire chief. Say, hey, man, how's the weather looking for us? We're thinking about doing X, Y, Z. And they'll tell you. And right now, we're okay. I mean, we don't have any burn bans right now, but it's certainly not going to be long. We'll see really dry conditions as a result of the, you know, it's just that time of year. We'll see some more wet conditions. So We just hang in the middle.
Yeah, just it's, as I say, it's cyclical. It it comes and goes.
Yeah, it's just a matter of safety. And people just like I said, everybody knows where their, most people know where their local fire departments are at. So visit with them. Those guys are out there, guys and girls, I should say. Those folks are out there working hard all the time, and they would much rather have you ask them about a fire situation before a fire breaks out and they have to try to gather all these folks to go put that fire out. So just visit with them. They'd probably enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, they'd much rather know about what you're going to be doing in advance than hear about it when, you know, the sparks go over to your house or your neighbor's house or something like that.
Like I said, those guys worked hard, those guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. They all worked very, very hard during these floods and did the best they could out there and did a phenomenal job. Believe me, it's hard to really say how good a job they did. No, they were just out there fighting the conditions and gathering people up and getting their dogs and their pets and doing the best they could to get them to safety, and they did it. They accomplished that goal with a few hiccups, not generally caused by them, probably just a combination of many things that happened, but they did an excellent job.
Yeah, that's something that has gotten quite a bit of press, is how many animals were displaced out of this.
There were a lot of animals. You know, here we were working with our extension agent here. They had a facility. They actually did all the work. We were just notified and tried to guide people to them, but they had locations where they could get hay. And you know, people don't think about that. You have to be able to feed these cattle. I was talking to some of the guys that were actually flying over different locations and pushing out hay onto the ground to animals that were stranded on high ground but couldn't get to food. So
yes,
it's quite an effort. It's amazing everything that goes on.
Has there, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot on this, but, you know, you were talking about all the boats that people volunteered with, and that was great. That people helping people, I guess that was the super positive thing that occurred out of this. But has there been any consideration of adding boats in the different areas of Liberty County? You know, and I'm going to add to that, we've had boats in the past, and then they sat there for 7 years.
That's true. And we do have certain fire departments. We have, I don't know the total number of boats with all our fire departments, but I'm going to say there's probably 10, maybe, across the county in the cities and counties. And I could be a little higher, a little low on that. I will say this. I think it's important we add boats. I think that's always, you know, you have to do everything financially. You have to pay attention to how much money you're spending, obviously, and where you get this money. But there are grant programs out there you can go to. I would like to see us add some additional boats. But I will also add that in this event, I don't think we could have had enough boats.
No.
I just don't believe there were enough. But I do believe we need to add some more boats as we can.
A few arcs would have been good.
That would have been nice. You know, it's funny. I was talking. We do conference calls. I remember one day we were doing like 9 conference calls during the middle of this thing. Everybody wants a conference call. And on one of the calls, they said, we have so-and-so and so-and-so, and we have NOAA. Well, NOAA is the weather service.
Yes.
But during a flood, when they say NOAA, I was thinking, well, maybe... It's kind of interesting to me when they said Noah's on the phone.
That might be helpful.
I need to talk to this guy.
Yeah, that's, you know, as you said, that there was enough water. There's not a hole big enough, and there's no way to pass that water through that it's not going to do damage. But the boats from the civilians and the volunteers were just wonderful.
It was a great asset to us, and it was very difficult to manage, and I don't mean so much by us, because it was actually, I was talking to some of the fire chiefs, and they're out at their area doing what they do, and 10 or 12 boats show up, and so they're like, A, where'd they come from? B, what are they doing? What are they going to do? How do we? So it was a little bit difficult to manage, but believe me, it was a much appreciated effort. And it worked out very well for everybody. So we learned a lot, though. We have to sit back and say, all right, in the future, if we ever experience another event like this, what's our best shot at making sure we can make the best use of the assets that we get into our area and keep everybody safe? So
I think your comment about having a getaway box or a, you know, bag or whatever you want to call it, because a lot of people had to leave that never left before, and, you know, in this case, it sure would have been nice if they would have been able to have some of those blankets, you know, a couple of blankets and maybe an inflatable air mattress.
You bet. Anything that you can grab. You know, you have to look at logistics. How do we How fast can we get people out? How much stuff can we carry on a boat? But any little thing, so there's a lot to work out, but I think in conversation we'll figure out. I've seen and talked about having those bags to go with you in the past, but I've really never pressed on that because it really just never really applied except maybe during a fire or something. We had to get out of your house really quick. But now that we saw this, you kind of reevaluate it and maybe that's something we need to stress a little more to folks.
And, earlier this year, the first time we got together and talked about any possibilities of storms coming, one of the things you noted was that the change in the amount of food people should and water people should have on hand. That was something that I had to make sure I changed, because we used to say 3 days, and you said it'd be better for 5 to 6 days.
That would be real good. Anywhere, 5, 7, 10, anything, the more the merrier, I guess you could say. We kind of made a change from that because, we've learned over the years that normally within 3 days, somebody's going to come help you. They're going to bring in supplies that are going to help you. But we've also noticed, look at this event. There were so many other events going on around the country, such a big event in our region, that it took a little longer to get some of those supplies in than that 3 day period. Now, so that's one of the reasons we want people to make sure they have that food and water available to them, because it's very difficult. One of the things that frustrates an emergency manager is somebody does something and they leave and they go to another location and they haven't even been 24 hours and they're calling and wanting to know why we haven't sent food and water to them. And that's a very frustrating thing for us because we're answering 11 phone lines in here that never stop ringing. Never. I'll promise you, they don't stop ringing.
I'm sure.
And so we're managing all kind of events, and we've got somebody frustrated on the phone line that thinks they need food and 6 hours later. So that's why we want people to do it. We just want people to do a little bit to help us, and we'll get you through the thing. Just get you a little food and water, put it up for a few days, and you don't have to worry.
And one of the things you brought up that, to me, was a concern, I was kind of wondering how they were going to be able to do everything, is FEMA doesn't bring everything like the storm's going to hit Houston or Corpus or whatever. They don't bring the stuff down to Houston and Corpus. They have it in Lufkin or whatever to bring down to us after everything settles down. And with this flood, it made it difficult for them to get everything here.
Yeah, they couldn't get to us. I mean, it wasn't just us. It was the whole region. But this is the first time anybody here can remember, we were virtually an island to ourselves. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go north, south, east, or west. It was just that simple. And that was for days. So, I hear a lot of things, and I don't get into the conversation, but I hear a lot of things about the Red Cross. I hear a lot of the national news or the big news out of Houston talking about the inability of Red Cross to perform whatever function they had. I can't judge whether they did or not. I can tell you this. Red Cross has always been good to us. And they couldn't get here anyway. They could not physically get here. They can't swim. They can't fly a helicopter in a rain, in a flood. So there was no way for them to get here. But once that water got down to an area where they could, they came, and they came in force. So, I'm very appreciative of what the Red Cross did for us. I can't explain, I can't talk about anybody else that may have had problems. But I think that overall they did the best they could, especially for us here in Liberty County.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you taking the time today and talk with us about the situation now, how much has been done and how much is yet to do, and, of course, reminding people to get that information into FEMA now or it's going to be too late. Thanks for being on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, that wraps up our public affairs for your information program for today. Thanks for tuning in to Cox Radio. And, Picker, key up your flat top and take us on home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.